Welcome to another New Zealand Doctor podcast. This is a podcast version of the regular monthly article, The First Time, written and presented by me, Dr. Joe Scott Jones. The First Time is a series of articles designed to explore issues that are common but challenging for people new to general practice and to refresh ideas in shot old dodos like me. This time we're talking about dealing with someone with medically unexplained symptoms, which is all too common. At any one time, around 2% of the population have significant symptoms that are medically unexplained, and around 1 in 6 consultations in primary care result from physical symptoms that have no pathology to explain them. These patients present with things that either don't fit any label or a recognized pattern of illness, or maybe have a symptom cluster of non-specific abdominal pain, irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia or chronic headache, those sorts of things. It's helpful to recognize the possibility of medically unexplained symptoms early, to explain to patients what's going on in all probability, and to take action to help them deal with their symptoms. Generally, patients present with one or more of three types of symptoms: unexplained pain, think irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia; unexplained autonomic problems, think palpitations and dizziness; and unexplained neurological symptoms, the fainting and pseudo-seizures. Think of this issue when you have someone with physical symptoms that are hard to explain but that affect function, especially if they've gone on for more than 2 or 3 months. Medically unexplained symptoms can affect anyone, but there's a higher risk in women and in people with anxiety or depression. It's also more common in people with personality disorders, or have had a traumatic childhood, or with a recent serious illness or bereavement. Management depends on the context, of course, but broadly, you can take three different approaches depending on the length of time that symptoms have persisted and what's already been done. Let's think about the early onset with a high suspicion of normality. I'm thinking of a patient who is a 35-year-old man with colicky abdominal pain since he returned from holiday 6 weeks ago. He had bloating discomfort and felt very tired, and he also had loose motions 2 or 3 times a week. He complained of similar symptoms lasting for shorter times in the past and was previously investigated with unexplained low back pain. Looking back through his past records, we found that he had been investigated in a hospital for palpitations and nothing found when he was in his late 20s. He was told he'd had a panic attack. You can't ignore the possibility of something serious going on here, and have to take a full history and examination and order whatever lab work you need to assure yourself that nothing serious is happening. If there are no red flags for more sinister things, then a full blood count, a CRP and a stool culture and celiac serology would seem to make sense. However, it's important to tell this patient in advance that there is a very low likelihood of a true positive result. By creating the expectation of normality, you'll reduce the chance that he'll come back anxious, that you are missing something when the tests all come back as negative. When the tests are all normal, explain that his symptoms are likely to be due to a functional issue. Explain in terms of a blip in the normal control that every now and again makes a bit of a mistake, and tell him to expect this to slowly settle. You have to safety net and warn him to report weight loss or blood in the stool that might need more investigation, but hopefully things will just settle down and he won't come back again. The patient who's coming back again and again. I'm thinking about a patient, a 48-year-old woman, who had gallstones removed from a non-inflamed gallbladder a year ago. Since then, she's continued having abdominal pain, which keeps bringing her back and back. Her past medical history includes a story of fibromyalgia. She's had investigations for abdominal pain in her 20s when she was told she had pelvic congestion. The key management plan here is to listen really carefully to what the patient has to say and to what she doesn't say. There may be some vital clues in some of her history for you to work with. You know, sometimes I feel it's going to burst inside me. Everyone keeps telling me this is not cancer, but they can't tell me what it is. There's no single right approach, but sometimes our job is to simply share the patient's journey, to reassure, explain as best as we can, and to try and understand. Explain that there's nothing inside that will explode. Talk about the symptoms as functional problems that often respond best to a functional approach to deal with them. This might include regular meals and exercise, plenty of fluids, and advice about relaxation. Sometimes drugs like antispasmodics and simple painkillers can be useful, as can amitriptyline or the SSRIs. The key to drug use is explanation, trialing, and regular reviews. The other type of patient is the one that has intractable symptoms. This might be, for example, a man in his late 50s who's been off work because of back pain for 15 years. He's frequently breathless despite normal lung functions and walks with a stick. He has a wheelchair at home for emergencies, and he depends on his family to help him get dressed. After extensive investigation by the hospital specialists, he's been told that he has fibromyalgia. This patient may benefit from cognitive behavioral therapy. But the key here is to avoid overtreatment and overinvestigation, whilst maintaining a healthy suspicion that new symptoms might represent a new physical process, and investigating if appropriate. It's all too easy to miss an underlying condition when it's masked in the fog of unexplained symptoms. Although clearly it's important to explain to people what's going through your mind about these unexplained issues, people don't like being told that it's all in their head, or even that these symptoms link into anxiety or stress. It's more effective to keep quiet until the patient makes their own links, and to try and listen, not as easy as it might sound, to pick up their underlying concerns and anxieties and try and address those individually. First, you save yourself, as always. Don't despair. You can help people with unexplained symptoms. If you can see the world through the patient's eyes, share decisions, and explain your uncertainty, minimize harm and over-investigation, and deal with the symptoms on a functional level, most people will get better with time. It does help to focus on the symptoms and their effect on functioning. It does help to talk about functional conditions and being able to manage symptoms. It helps if you can match your explanation using the patient's own words and sharing your uncertainty. Discuss the possible test results and all of the implications. Have a discussion about therapeutic trials of medications and their potential side effects, and share decisions with the patients, listening carefully to what they want. Acknowledge the importance of the patient's view and their circumstances. Don't attribute blame to them. Sensitively accept them and let the patients expand on what psychological clues there might be given. Allow time and encourage the patients to make connections. It may take a few consultations, except that these things do take time. Be open about your own uncertainty and reassuring that a serious cause is unlikely. Stress that you will always keep an open mind and agree a management plan for red flags with the patient. This is a significant problem for GPs, and there's lots of learning to do around it. The BMJ Learning website, learning.bmj.com, has useful learning resources for further information. And this has got to be one of the most useful situations that you can share patient stories with your peers in your peer group. Okay, so that's it for this New Zealand Doctor podcast. Remember to look out for more on iTunes and have a look at the New Zealand Doctor website. Maybe even subscribe to the paper at newzealanddoctor.co.nz. And follow me on Twitter @ApodikiGP.